When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, baseball family, to this week's episode where we're going to talk Red Sox troubles, Alyssa Knack and back on the radar, and playoff updates right now.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I'm Brig. I'm here and it's cold. And I'm with Brad. He's in Phoenix, and he's cold. So wrap your mind around that. But yeah. Other than being cold, how are you, Brad?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. trying to combat the frosty 90 degrees.
Yeah. Not 90. In the 90s.
It's currently 90 is what my phone says.
Oh, okay.
That probably means it's like, that does probably mean it's like 93, though. So.
Yeah. Here, the wind blew it into the 50s, and I got a little, like, I had to put my coat
Burr.
On.
Yeah.
So, all things are relative, baseball family, except for this week's current events, which are not relative. They're actuals. They're actually actual. That's what I meant to say.
Factual.
Okay. Factually actual. Or is it actually factual? I don't know. The Red Sox are having some trouble getting interviews with general manager candidates. They need to replace Chaim Bloom, whom they fired as the GM, September 14th. He had about 3 years on the job. And basically, I was going to make a joke about
it. I mean, I can't remember what you thought about it, Brig. If you thought that he was done dirty or if they like did the if they made the right move.
I remember saying this makes sense. If he's not the guy, then they move on.
Okay. All right, because my thing is that, like, I'm not surprised at all that they're having a hard time getting people in for interviews because they're like,
me neither.
So you're gonna bring me in, tell me what to do, how to do my job,
right,
and then fire me in 3 years,
yeah, for doing what you told me to do.
Yeah, so I'm not at all surprised that I like. somebody who would love to have a job as a GM. I would not go take that interview, I don't think.
Right.
Like, even me, somebody who does not work in baseball, right?
And would love to have
and
that
would love to
job.
Make that kind of money for even 3 years, but just to, like, the stress and anxiety of going into work every day and being like, is this the day they decide that they don't want me around anymore? Or is that going to be tomorrow? Or next week, or maybe next month. Maybe I make it to spring training, but not out of it. I don't know.
Right.
That would be really stressful. And so I don't blame anybody for not wanting to go interview. So
I think, well, first of all, I don't disagree with that at all. So because we're coming at it from two different sides. The one side is, from the organization standpoint, he's not the guy. Move on.
Right.
From that decision. That's what hiring and firing is like, right? I used to be in that world.
Especially in professional sports. In professional sports, right. If you're a manager, a general manager, or anybody on a coaching staff, you get hired to get fired.
Exactly.
Generally, you don't just walk away from a job.
100% accurate. Generally.
Generally,
unless you don't walk into the interview, which is what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I think that's really funny. But the other thing that I read was that there's some question about Alex Cora's influence in the front office,
right?
As the manager there, because somebody I think had asked him, like, "Are you going to take the GM job?" And he's like, "No, I want to be out on the field still."
Yeah.
Okay. So, is he super influential in the front office too? Which is kind of a reversal from what we've typically seen with managers. Usually, the managers take the marching orders rather than giving them. But if he has a ton of influence in the front office because they obviously really, really like him.
Yeah, they really do.
There could be some clashing going on between the new GM and Alex Cora.
How could there not be?
Unless it's somebody he's tight with and they're on the same page.
Right. And maybe Oh, that's an interesting angle. I really like that idea. And I wonder who those candidates might be.
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Maybe his brother, Joey Cora.
Right, I was going to say.
I think he's a third base coach for the Pirates right now. At least he was.
That would be crazy is what it would be.
That would be.
That would be crazy.
It's a nepotism.
Well, we want to know why this is happening. And so if you have any comments, baseball family, let us know. But before we get too much further into the show, we want to let you know that sports betting has been rapidly rising in popularity. And so we found a way to connect all of you with opportunities to get either started or get ahead. I would be in the get started camp. Brad would be in the get ahead camp, as he is a savant, basically. Okay.
I don't know if I would say savant, but I had some success. You're really good at it.
Having multiple sportsbook accounts, though, is the simplest way to maximize your profits, and there's never been a better time to sign up for many different opportunities. So now you can go to our page, which is signupexpert.com/baseball, and you can be connected to all of the sportsbook in your region, along with a review of each platform and all of its unique benefits. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers and new users. And when you register through the Baseball Together link, you will automatically receive the top offer for new signups at each one. So when you use multiple sportbooks, it ensures that you can always access the best available odds. And that's a big key for successful sports betting, as we learned this season. So if you want to take advantage of this benefits and this opportunity, and if you want to support the show at the same time, sign up for your next sports book at signupexpert.com/baseball. As always, there's going to be a link in the description. And one little caveat on the back end of that, even if you're in areas where sports betting is not legalized, there are opportunities for you to continue to engage in that world. And this is a way to do that, not illegally, but in the legalist ways. And I'll bring myself up as an example. I'm currently in South Carolina. Sports betting is not legal, but there are ways for me to play different markets and do different predictions and things like that. And mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun. I've been playing around with it. So when you go to that link, it will jump you to, based on your region, all of the different sports books that are available to you. If it is illegal or otherwise unavailable for you to do, it won't even come up. So don't even worry about it.
Yeah, and it'll show whatever is legal for you. So you don't have to worry about anything like that. So if you're saying, I can't play DraftKings in my state, go ahead and check anyway, because there might be something that you can play in place of that. So
right. Like, I can't do DraftKings, but I can do Jock Market. Jock Market was really fun.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun.
It was really fun. So anyway, jump in there and look around. All right, let's move on. Brandon Woodruff of the Brew Crew, because we're going to talk about them still. Brandon Woodruff of the Brew Crew could miss the entire 2024 season after having shoulder surgery. Now, we'll talk about that more in a minute, but he's already missed about 4 months of the 2023 season with a subscapular strain in his throwing shoulder. This is who we meant when we were discussing it during the wild card series. We mistakenly said it was Corbin Burnes. Brad officially apologizes, but that does not take away from the fact that one of the Brewers pitchers, in this case, Brandon Woodruff, is likely going to miss the entire 24 campaign, which could also cause him to take a pay cut because he is scheduled to become a free agent after the 2024 season.
I think that's the biggest thing right there, right?
It is. This is one of those perfect storm, like, ugly scenarios for guys who end up needing to have some sort of corrective surgery or medical procedure or something like this. It's either announced right at the beginning of their free agency or leading into their free agency. This is Shohei Ohtani's dealing with some of this right now too.
Right.
And that's, so it's not just, it happens to a lot of people is what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Ohtani, like, and I think Woodruff is kind of in the same boat. I've seen people say that Ohtani wherever he goes, nobody should give him more than a 2-year deal. Let him DH next year and then see how he pitches on that second year. Give him a prove it deal, right? Sure. Because since we already know he can hit, like that first year is not a prove it. It's just like, okay, just come play and rake for us.
Yeah.
But then the second year is the prove it part of the deal where let's see if you can still pitch. And Brandon Woodruff very well could end up getting a 1-year prove it deal at a discount, and I'm sure he'll understand that because he's coming back from rotator cuff injury, which for a long time was like Tommy John, the kiss of death, right? Yep.
Yes.
And so I think what we'll see with Brandon Woodruff is we'll see him come get a 1, maybe a 2-year deal. Maybe he'll get like a second year on a team option on a prove it deal. So he can come out and prove that he can still pitch after missing an entire season and coming back from that. That's a significant injury.
It is.
So
now I did see somewhere, and I hope this is accurate, but I did see somewhere that it's an arthroscopic procedure. They're going to go in and open him up, which is awesome.
You said it's an arthroscopic procedure?
That's what I think I read.
Okay.
So in the event that it is arthroscopic, that will cut down on recovery times and certain levels of complication. I've had 2 reconstructed shoulders, so I know a little bit about it. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you know, usually they go to arthroscopic option anyway these days.
Yeah.
So it's rare that they'll open you all the way up anymore, but they will if they have to. In this case, it just seems like it might not have to be. It's good for him.
It'd be really good for him.
All right, let's move on to San Francisco. We're going to jump across the country here because the Giants fired Gabe Kapler, as we all know, and my fiance is distraught, okay?
But oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. She's very excited about his future GQ model opportunities and different things like that. I think it's hilarious. But in the interim, the San Francisco Giants have got to have somebody to fill that spot. And interestingly enough, they have interviewed Alyssa Nacken for the manager's position. This would make her it is the first woman now to ever interview for a managerial position in Major League Baseball, not just to have the opportunity, but even interview at all. And that is a laudable accomplishment in and of itself. Now, many of us who want to see this happen, something like this happen, are waiting for the next shoe to drop when she actually gets hired. And that'll be really exciting. But she has been with the organization since 2014, and she joined the big club as part of the coaching staff in 2020. So she already has on-field experience. She coached first base after an ejection. I think it was last season.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. And reports are showing that Nacken was one of former manager Gabe Kapler's most trusted coaches. So that also bodes really well. Specifically, he cited strategy as one of her best contributions to the club. And that was during their 107-win 2021 campaign. So the Giants, they're also interviewing other people. They've interviewed a couple of other people from Kapler's staff, and former catcher Stephen Vogt is now set to meet with the team this week, it appears. So we'll see. We know catchers make terrific managers. A lot.
A lot of the time, yeah, they do. I think this is awesome. I think it's really great for her, great for the Giants. I think it's an excellent opportunity. And the thing that I thought was really telling was the fact that that she was kind of the go-to when strategy on Kapler's staff during a successful season.
Correct.
You know, like that's – like it could have been like this year they missed the playoffs, he ends up getting fired. It's like, well, he was leaning on Nacken an awful lot. You know, like, oh, shoot, doesn't bode well for her. But the fact that they won 107 games that season, they were really good, really successful. I think that says a lot to her. I don't want to say knack for the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
But
I love that.
But anyway, no, I think it's great. I hope she gets it. Obviously, for the Giants' sake, I hope they hire the person who they think is the most qualified. And from what we've seen and what we've been told about her, based on what we've read in reports and things like that, she seems like somebody who is certainly qualified to a certain level, right?
Capable, yeah.
Yeah, capable, yeah, definitely. So so when I was reading this, I was like, well, shoot, didn't Jessica Mendoza? No, she didn't. She was
right.
Her name was kind of in the mix for the GM position.
It was a GM.
With the Mets. Yeah. And I think it was Billy Epler was the one who got the job instead, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That worked out for him real well.
That's great. But, maybe somebody anyway. Should call Jessica again.
Maybe.
Actually, sure Steve, what's his name's there now, so it doesn't matter. But
yeah, it's true. But anyway, no, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
All right, let's move on. The Phillies beat the Braves again. And this was in the ALDS. I know it's long gone, but we did promise that we would come back and touch on a couple of things. And we're going to deliver on that promise. So I'm going to say this stuff, Brad, and okay. then I'll go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
And then I want to hear your analysis of the final game. But the Atlanta Braves have had three different franchise locations. They've been in Boston and then Milwaukee and now in Atlanta. That's been since like 85 or something like that. I went all the way back. I looked at every postseason appearance that the Philadelphia Phillies have ever made, ever. And I wanted to see how often they matched up against the Atlanta Braves in the postseason. Because I heard somewhere that the Braves have never beat the Phillies in the postseason, ever in the history of ever. And I was like, come on, that can't possibly be real. Sure is real. Okay. That's 100% exactly accurate. So it gets worse. Okay. Not only have they never beaten the Braves, or the Braves have never beat the Phillies in the playoffs ever, they've only faced one another three times in the history.
That's three times now, right?
Yeah. This is the third time.
It's funny because I was like, when I heard they've never beat them in the postseason, like, oh man, there's like several times in the 90s, had to have been like way back because these teams have been around forever. But it's like, no, never no. all two times.
Right.
Never makes it sound extensive. You know?
So for those of you who heard what we heard, and it was like the Braves have lost to the Phillies in every single postseason contest, it's like, true. There have been 14 games combined across three seasons where they've played each other at all in the postseason. I'll tell you exactly what they are. Right, the first time the franchises even faced off against one another in the postseason was in 1993. Okay, Philly beat Atlanta in the NLCS 4-2 and went on to lose the World Series to Toronto 2-4. That was 1993. The second time the Phillies and Braves faced off in the postseason was 2022. It was last year,
for those of you who might have lost track.
That's it. And then this year, oddly, Philly defeated Atlanta last year in the NLDS 3-1. And they defeated Atlanta this year in the NLDS 3-1. So there's your little factoid for you. For any Braves fans who are feeling extra down about their Philly counterparts, or any Phillies fans who feel riding a little high against their history with the Braves.
Yeah. So something about this last game real quick, let's jump into this just for a couple minutes break. So yeah. Nick Castellanos became the first player ever to hit multiple home runs on back-to-back nights in the postseason. Right.
Right.
Which is amazing. Castellanos, like I said, going into that, like Thursday night when we were live, is like, man, he is HOT hot right now. Absolutely. Correct. He is Hansel. So hot right now. And so then after the game, the thing that I thought was the best was so funny was he's talking to Matt Weiner from TBS. And Matt Weiner just says, you're the first player ever to hit multiple home runs on back-to-back nights in the postseason. And your team's going to the NLCS to face off against the Diamondbacks. And then he puts the mic in his face, and Castellanos, I thought this was fantastic. I love that he did this. He goes, where's the question? Yeah. Because this is the thing that drives me crazy, Brig. One of the reasons I wanted to like go back to school, go to journalism school, was to learn how to become a better interviewer. Because I was pretty timid about that. Going into school, I was like, man, I don't want to ask these guys stuff. They know way more than I do. But that's like it, right? ask what you want to know, you know? And but one of my big things was like interviews, post-game pressers. I remember the first time I got into a post-game presser, there was a, it was a pretty big media scrum for what was going on. And I was like, I didn't ask a question because I didn't get a chance to, because I wasn't fast enough. But like, there was a lot of talk about this, which is generally regarded as a no-no in interviewing, because you're putting the thoughts into the person's head. What's a coach or player putting the thought into their head? And so it just got to the point where I had like three or four questions that I could just rattle off to get started. And it was always like one of the ones I started asking the coaches, like, because it was a down year for the basketball team. I just said, what'd you see that you liked tonight? Mm-hmm. And he'd rack his brain because it was a terrible game. 7 out of 9 times, I think he said, well, there wasn't much. And then he would go from there, right?
That's his filler, yeah.
So that's something you learned. But it was never just like, coach, you guys got beat by 30 tonight. You know?
And?
Yeah. It was never, ever, ever that. Like,
yeah.
I watched that happen. I was just like, dude, you're a professional. You need to have a question ready to go for him. Even Brig, if it's, how do you feel about that?
Right.
Don't just... Here's a factoid microphone. I thought Castellanos was absolutely perfectly in line with what he should have done there and asked, where's the question?
Yeah, I love it.
Amazing.
Also, baseball family, for those of you that have not listened to any of the interviews that we've done on the show, Brad has overcome all of that he was once worried about. So he's, yes.
Thank you, Brad.
If you haven't listened to some of our interviews, go do it because they're awesome. All right. You said everything I wanted to say, and I said everything I wanted to say. Let's move on. Before we do, baseball family, we always want to know what you think about the topics we bring up on the show. And now we have a quick and easy way for you to share your thoughts with us. We have partnered with Versus Game to bring you games where you can make money from participating in polls, trivia, and predictions. So if you're on the winning side of a poll or if you get a trivia question right, on Versus Game, you can win real money and prizes. So you can play for free or you can buy ticket bundles and win more faster. You can win more faster, not more faster, but more and faster. You can play against other listeners and Versus Game users. So head to btpod.onversus.com. Use your mobile browser to sign up and play our polls and trivia games. That's btpod.onversus.com. Sign up and play Versus Game with us right now. A couple of questions live and a couple of questions coming to you tonight during this show or whatever, whenever you're listening to it.
Well, so right now we have a World Series prediction. Which league do you think the winner will be from? Also, we're asking about the Dodgers tearing it down and can the Astros be considered a dynasty?
Right.
Those are what we have right now. I think we'll have a couple more predictions up as we go, but
no doubt.
That's what we have right now for you.
So jump over to Versus Game and answer those questions for your chance to win and have a lot of fun with us. So, all right, let's check in on what's happening with the championship series because they are happening and we need to check in on them. In fact, they're happening right now. Brad, do you have an update for us on the game?
I do. Let me pull it up real quick. Last I saw it was 2-0. The Rangers were up. Currently 2-0. Rangers are up in the bottom of the 7th inning. Jordan Montgomery is still on the mound.
You're kidding me.
I'm not. He's gone 6 plus, allowed just 5 hits, 1 walk, and struck out 6. So he is rolling right now.
Oh yeah, I love that. Just love it entirely. Okay. ALCS, Rangers versus Astros, currently in Houston at Minute Maid Park. The Rangers, this is the biggest news ever right now for them. The Rangers have added pitchers Max Scherzer and John Gray to the active roster for the ALCS. They are in the dugout tonight at Minute Maid Park. It's very, very exciting. There's a lot of stuff to talk about here, but Scherzer has not played since September 12th. Due to a shoulder strain, and Gray was put on the 15-day IL on September 29th with rut-row forearm tightness. Hopefully that does not lead to what has become an inevitability. Tommy John.
I am shocked, Brig, shocked that they are bringing him in to pitch, or that they're the, not okay. They haven't brought him in yet, but that he is available to pitch, because that injury is so scary. And not only that, but like in the postseason, do you want a guy with forearm tightness pitching? No. Because guys struggling is one of the reasons, is one of the signs that leads to Tommy John.
Right.
And a forearm strain and everything that leads up to it. Oof. I would tread very carefully if I was Bruce Bochy. I know they're planning on bringing him in primarily as a relief pitcher, and that's how they're managing that bullpen that's weak anyway.
Yeah.
Is moving some starters around into the bullpen to help out with that. But man, I would have Gray as a break glass in case of emergency situation. And even then, I don't know if that's the answer.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe use him as a relief guy, like you said, but in situations where they're ahead, where it's a closed door, and all they got to do is give everybody else some time off.
Got to have somebody to eat some innings.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
That might be the time.
Up and that or is down and eat somebody tool. To eat innings. Yeah, it right. is. It is nice to have a guy in your bullpen who can do that, because the Mariners did that with Chris Flexen eventually. That became his role as the inning eater, right?
Well, and it's a great option.
It is a great option for him, because sometimes you reach a certain situation where it can't get a whole lot worse. You're like, if he goes out there and gives up three, meh. It was out of hand anyway, right?
I was just going to say, it's the inning eater will come up to one of two situations. You're way ahead or you're getting murdered, and that's it. And either way, you're just waiting for tomorrow. So I think that the problem is, with as good as Texas' starting rotation has been, at least the first two guys, Eovaldi and Montgomery, I wonder whether we'll ever see that situation develop on either side in this series. I don't know that the situation will ever get that out of hand in this ALCS.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think it will. The Astros have some good pitching too, is the thing.
They do.
So this is the thing. I was thinking about this series tonight before it started. And this is what I came up with. If I was going to go just down the list and say who has the edge where, starting with starting pitching, I do feel like the Rangers starting pitching is deeper.
Right? I do too. That's like what I would say. That yeah.
They'll probably go 1-4, right?
Yeah.
And I think 1-4, it's better, especially if Scherzer can come back and pitch like Scherzer.
Then it's no brainer. Yeah.
Edge to Texas. Relief pitching to Houston, hands down, easily. Like I said, Bochy's done a good job with kind of piggybacking starters into that rotation or into the bullpen and helping with that. But at the same time, though, it doesn't make up for like the Astros. Like Ryan Pressly, postseason Ryan Pressly is a different kind of guy.
Postseason Ryan Pressly is 13-for-13 in save opportunities career.
There you go.
Listen to that. He's a no miss in save opportunities so far
in the postseason. Yeah.
So it's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
continue.
I would give it to them offensively. This is the thing that's crazy. Offensively is that the Astros have some of the scariest bats in the league the last 4 or 5 years. But the Rangers offense this year was one of the scariest in the league. Like Corey Seager is as consistent as they come.
He's hitting over 400 coming into this game tonight.
Dude, that guy is otherworldly. And it's funny because when he first came into the league and Kyle Seager was playing up the whole Corey's brother thing, you know?
Yeah.
He did tell somebody in a game, I think he got into the press box somewhere in the postseason or something like that. And he told him, he said, I built that swing.
Really?
That was thanks to Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager was a great hitter as well. Yeah, so sure. I'm not shocked at all that Corey Seager, who is the more athletic of the two, has turned out to be who he has been. But top to bottom, though, like Adolis Garcia, that dude's a machine. Dude. He is just about as frightening as anybody in that box. Like, you've got Jordan Alvarez on the other side. I would say that Adolis Garcia is the dude for the
Rangers. Think so?
He
you think between him
I watched and did Alvarez. You watch his at bat against Verlander tonight?
Yeah, I did.
There was one of them where it's just like, what do you, like, he doesn't have anything he can do. Like, he's lucking out by Garcia fouling a couple pitches off.
Okay, but
right,
but Verlander, at least as far as I watched, was couldn't hit anything. He was missing the zone every time I turned around. He threw two or three curveballs in a row trying to get some chase swings, and it never happened, and he just sat there frustrated. So right. Maybe he was hitting his spots.
So he,
maybe it's unfair to say
the one for me was that a lot of guys with will rear back and throw that high fastball because it's impossible to catch up to.
Yeah.
Garcia caught up to it. He was a little under it because it was a little high. I think he might have had some ride on it. You know, like we talk about that sometimes.
Yeah, ride, yeah.
You know, and he got a little bit under it, and he fouled it back, and he was angry because he's like, man, I was right on it.
That's it.
Yeah. Right on that high fastball. And you connect to the high fastball, it's going a long ways.
Especially if you're a big boy like that, and you got some serious muscle.
Yeah, dude's a linebacker, man.
Yeah, he's a linebacker. That's exactly right.
So, but no, Adolis Garcia is a dude in that lineup I'm legitimately afraid of.
But okay. I don't disagree with you, but he's a right fielder. I thought we were talking about designated hitters.
I was saying like offensive ability though.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, if you're looking at the designated hitter, I want Alvarez all day long.
Right. Yeah.
Well, because the Rangers sometimes got what? Garver is their guy? It's not.
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
Not even close.
Yeah. No, not even close. But I mean, you put Alvarez out in left field, then you say, okay, now we're looking at outfielders head to head, right?
Yes.
Because that happens sometimes.
It does. And Michael in that Brandt, case, I'm going to give it to Garcia for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as offensively and defensively, oh, yeah, definitely Garcia. But anyway.
What do you think about the catcher's matchup? That's what I'm really interested in.
I give it to Texas.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Maldonado's a good defensive catcher. He's a really good defensive catcher. That's why they have him there. That's why they allow him to hit 098.
Exactly. Right?
But Jonah Heim drove in the first run of the game tonight. That dude comes through. And when you were talking about the Rangers earlier this year, I was like, you know what? I could see it because I really like what they have defensively with Jonah Heim. Yeah. He's a great catcher.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good. And he's great. He doesn't hit for the same kind of power, obviously, that Cal Raleigh does, I don't think with even Adley Rutschman, but he gets the hits when he needs them.
Yeah. I can't believe he's so young. I mean, that's because, so it's interesting to me because Martin Maldonado's like 36 or 7 or something.
Old dude. Yeah.
He's old as we are. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So
what's he still doing out there?
He's ancient, man, compared to Jonah Heim, who's just a kid.
You know what I can't believe about Jonah Heim is I can't believe he cut his hair.
I can't either.
It looks so good coming out the back of his, and maybe that's what it was. He didn't like it coming out of the back of his helmet or anything. But
well, no. I will be honest with you.
What's
I will express that it is a pain in the butt.
Is it? I was gonna say because somebody who doesn't have it, I just get jealous of it, and can't believe anybody ever does cut it.
I'm always tucking mine back. Like I'm like right now, I'm like my headphones strap's got this little like ponytail thing going on for me. It's nice. Anyway, okay. So you are going to give. So if you're going to pick who's going to win the ALCS, give it to me right now. Now, we do not know the outcome of game one. This is Sunday night. We're going to move into, you'll get this on Tuesday, Baseball Family. And then, you know, there have been two games played by then, but. What do you got, Brad?
I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but head-to-head, I feel like I've got to give it to the Rangers.
How many games?
Oh, it'll probably go six.
That's what I... Seven. Dude, I was going to say that. Rangers and six.
Yeah?
Yeah. Damn. I mean, expletive. Yeah.
No, I don't, and part of that is like I would rather have the Rangers win because I don't want the Astros to go to the World Series again because I don't know if anybody in the National League can beat them. I think if anybody's gonna beat them, it's gonna be the Rangers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, let's move on to the NLCS between the D-backs and the Phillies.
Okay.
The D-backs are they've been playing 100 win game baseball the last little bit of the season, certainly in the postseason they have. And then the Phillies could, like, if this was a lifetime and you were like, and you, if we were looking at a person and it was over a person's lifetime and we were like, that dude's in his prime, that's how the Phillies feel right now.
Yeah. So they're 37.
They're 37. Yeah. But how do you argue with that? Honestly, they've got the only thing that is slipping for them that I can see is Realmuto's defensive capabilities have slipped just a hair. Just a hair. And because he's not throwing guys out like he used to. And yeah. His the shortstop position is just a hair weaker. And if you want to talk about Kyle Schwarber.
That's three true it, outcomes, though. Right?
Kyle Schwarber's the gray hair on this dude's head or whatever, right? It's distinguished, and we are not sad about it, but it's the sign. You know?
Yeah, you might be right about that. Yep. But this is the thing that's funny about this team too, is that like Nick Castellanos, like I said before, is otherworldly right now. That dude is playing at another level and just cannot and won't be stopped. I saw a list today where somebody ranked everybody in the postseason, the top 40 players in the postseason, and Bryce Harper was ranked number 40. And I was like,
really?
I don't think that's right, because October Harper is a completely different animal, right? Like
way.
It is insane the level he goes to in October. And I mean, it's like Nick Castellanos right now and Bryce Harper, all he needed was a little, and I don't want to say all he needed was a little bit of motivation, but a little bit of extra motivation, I think, took him into his next gear. He really took it out on the Braves. Any frustration or angst that he was feeling toward what Orlando Arcia had said.
Yeah.
But, this is the thing, like, I would love the D-backs to win because I want to go to a World Series game. Right.
Right. Of course.
But man, I don't know how they do it. The Phillies are playing so good right now.
Can they do it? Yes. How? Beats me.
Their pitching will have to go. We'll have to find another gear because Zach Gallen is really good and is going to finish probably in the top. I think he'll probably finish top five in the Cy Young voting. Right. Yeah. If he doesn't win it, cause he had a great year.
He had a great year and he's having a great postseason.
He is, but he has his moments where it's frightening. And you're like,
yeah,
if he can't do it, who is? You know, Merrill Kelly maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the worry, is that can their pitching withstand the barrage, the potential barrage of the Phillies offense? I don't know.
I don't know either. And I think I think when you, let's see, what's the guy's name really quick? Ranger Suarez, Super Duh, is dude's a beast, man.
You know, Brig, the thing about Ranger Suarez is that all year long, I was just like, okay, he's going to fall off eventually, right? Like he's not going to continue to be the guy that he has been, to the point, Brig, that if he was pitching and I was putting together a parlay, I would bet against the Phillies.
Right.
I lost a lot of money to Ranger Suarez having really good outings.
Yeah. I think that when you talk about, okay, the first thing I want to say, I got to go back to Bryce Harper. Because you're absolutely right about Nick Castellanos and Bryce Harper. But if we're going to compare Christian Walker to Bryce Harper, just a position-by-position breakdown, because we have to, right? You have to think about it in those ways. And I think that Christian Walker, I've been saying, is an unsung talent for I don't know how long. I really like Christian Walker. His defense is terrific. Like, it just is terrific. Gold glove caliber. He finally got a gold glove. Certainly is an all-star caliber player defensively. It's his offense that is not as elite as you'd want it to be. Bryce Harper.
He can go on streaks.
Right.
Where he's hitting really, really well. But the opposite of that is not good.
But Bryce Harper is a monster at the plate. Just an unbelievable, like, otherworldly monster at the plate, especially in the postseason. And what he leaves to be desired at first base defensively is not enough for me to offset what Christian Walker brings to the table and might diminish on the other side offensively, right? That you might lose. So if we're looking at position by position and we're looking at certain, like, inconsistencies and where are they uneven, that is the biggest disparity for me is how uneven they are at first base.
I could see that, yeah. So I saw this on Instagram, I think it was today. Somebody's asking Bryce Harper about how he's able to stay so calm in the big moments and not get nervous about it. And he's like, you kidding me? He's like, I dropped out of high school at 16, got my GED, went and played JUCO ball.
Yeah.
He's like, my whole family was counting on me making it because they thought I could. And the financial, like, I don't want to say repercussion, but the financial benefit of that was going to be immense for my entire family. Yeah. He's like, that's where the pressure is. He's like, I've made it. There is no pressure. This is fun. And right. The fact that that dude doesn't feel any pressure in the postseason, despite everybody like, Harper's got to win a World Series. Harper's got to da da da. Harper's got to da 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 still. Like, he's like, no, this is fun. Like, yeah. I'm loving this right now. The fact that he can go out and do that in the postseason speaks volumes to his ability.
Yeah. I think that we have to address Kyle Schwarber a little bit because I think Brandon Marsh does a good job in left field and Kyle Schwarber does an okay job in left field, and at the plate is where things start to get really funny.
So it is interesting because I would way rather have Brandon Marsh in left field.
Way.
So much faster, so much better defensively. But this is the thing. It's like, what's the situation with the two, right? Offensively. Right. Like, do you have two guys on? You need a 3-run home run to tie the game in the ninth? Give me Schwarber. Right? Because there's a good chance.
If you can afford the strikeout opportunity or possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, because on the other hand, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Marsh ripped one into the gap and two of those guys scored and he's standing on second by the time things are done.
Or Marsh advances the runner from first to third in that situation, and then it's with the same bloop single, right, into the gap, mm-hmm. and then steals second base to take away the double play opportunity.
Yeah. So are you saying you would rather have Marsh over Schwarber, like, around altogether?
I think so. And I'll bet you he starts most of these games. You just watch.
See Schwarber being the DH, right? So who do you DH if you don't have Schwarber DHing? I think that's the solution.
You're right.
You want to have Schwarber in the lineup still.
Right? You do. Yeah, you absolutely do. That's a good question. Because they have to have somebody. Who would it be?
Instead of Schwarber, I think that's just your guy. That's who you have in the DH position.
Especially if you really want Marsh's defense, you know, and you want to keep that consistent, then the only place for Schwarber is DH. And you're right. You have to have him in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I don't think Schwarber is a defensive liability. That's not what I'm saying. But he is a lesser defender than Brandon Marsh.
Yeah.
It's a semantic difference, but I feel like it's an important one.
Yeah, because even, like, Schwarber is listed on the lineup just as DH. He's not even listed as an outfielder anymore.
Okay. Well, see, so, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting, though, because I don't want to get too much into it right now, but, like, next year when Rhys Hoskins gets back is when it's going to get fascinating with that team.
Ooh, yeah.
No matter what happens this postseason, it's going to get really interesting when Rhys Hoskins gets back.
I agree. So. One last thing, position by position. I was reading up an article somewhere. I think it's MLB that did it. And they were talking about Gabriel Moreno behind the plate for the D-backs versus JT Realmuto. And it was a really interesting side-by-side comparison because they are not necessarily evenly split or evenly, they don't keep, how do I say this? They're not, it's not a one-to-one matchup. That's what I mean. If you look at stat by stat, it's not one-to-one, but it feels one-to-one when you're watching them manage a game and when you're watching them, even at the plate, even at the plate, Moreno does a great job and he's so young. So it's fascinating, man.
It is fascinating. And you almost have to default, give it to Real Muto, right? Because he's got the experience.
Yeah.
Got the postseason experience. He's been quote unquote QB1 for the Phillies for a couple years now. Right.
Totally.
He's
totally
super familiar with that pitching staff. And I'm not saying Moreno isn't, because I know how spring training works. Right. Like, he knows those guys, knows them well.
Of course. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that what we've seen from Moreno so far in the postseason, like Corbin Carroll has been Jeremy Peña level, but Moreno's not far behind.
Agreed.
He's been really, really great this postseason, and the D-backs have needed every little bit of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of came out and surprised some people in the NLCS.
That's what I'm seeing. It's all going to come down to whether or not his hand is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm honestly shocked he didn't get a concussion when he got hit by that bat.
Same.
Because it sure seemed like...
And they just let it go? I don't know.
Well, if he did, it doesn't seem to be affecting him because he's still playing really well.
He is playing really well. But so if you were going to lose anybody, and this is part of why I bring this up, if your lineup was going to lose anybody, and it being having a dramatic influence, Corbin Carroll is the obvious choice for the D-backs, but I think Gabriel Moreno is another one of those right up there choices.
Yeah, I agree. Ketel Marte apparently was built for the postseason. Didn't know
suddenly,
that.
Suddenly, we all know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I think he's another guy. Because he's so funny. It's like... He was really good. Like, he was an all-star 1 year. It's like, yeah, Ketel Marte is really good. But then it's like, but where has he been since then? You know, hurt quite a bit. But then he comes into the postseason and finds this second gear. It's like, this is the guy we've been thinking we were supposed to be seeing.
Yeah.
And he's been insane. Like, so good. And I could not be happier for the former Mariner. Because this is how I want him to play every day as a Phoenix local.
Yep. Now, on the other side with Philly, if they're going to lose anybody and have the biggest impact, I'm going to say Bryce Harper.
Most likely.
Just position players. Just position players.
Did you see what happened with his elbow the other day at first base?
No, tell me.
Yeah, so there was a collision. I can't remember who it was. Somebody ran into his right arm. And that's when he had Tommy John on.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't look good, but it sounds like things are okay.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it was, Alec Baum, I think was the one who like came over and like had to like hold him up because he was in so much pain from what happened. And probably scared as well, right? Like, not this again. But yeah, it was kind of a moment where there's a little collective breath between anybody looking forward to the Phillies advancing.
Yeah.
I don't want to just say Phillies fans because I was holding my breath when it happened.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
But
I agree with that.
I think Harper is one guy they can't afford to lose. Right now, you can't afford to lose Nick Castellanos. Not that bat. There's nobody who can replace him.
Nobody.
What about let's play this game with the ALCS, Brig. Who do you think?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Let's do that.
The Rangers can't afford to go without
Corey Seager. If the Rangers lose Corey Seager or Jonah Heim, it is over.
It is over. Yeah, I think if they lose Corey Seager, it's over.
I agree.
That dude.
That's the first name.
That dude right there. He, if Ohtani was not breaking records and doing something we hadn't seen ever before every single day, Corey Seager would be the MVP. And you know what? He might be because he finished the season.
There you go.
And then as far as
Houston,
what about the Astros? What about the Astros?
That's interesting. I don't know, Brad.
That's the thing that's crazy about this team is they're so deep.
They are.
If they lose Yordan Alvarez, they miss out on almost a guaranteed extra base hit in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, whenever he's going to come up. But they have enough guys in that lineup who can jump in and fill in for those total bases that I think there's enough experience on that roster that they say, okay, and they kind of take the money ball approach, right? Okay, today Yordan was probably going to have three total bases. Who's going to step in and get a double and a single?
Yeah.
And they can probably do it. Really good offensive team.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm not saying that they're guaranteed to win because they're so deep, because I still think the Rangers are going to take the series. But I don't know that they would miss him as much as it feels like they would miss him, because they were missing him quite a bit this season, and they managed to make it work.
Bingo. And that's what I think is interesting, is I haven't watched the Rangers position players injury shuffling throughout the season. Watched the pitcher shuffle, obviously, but the position players
haven't really had to. Exactly. It doesn't feel like.
So it feels like I don't have enough leg to stand on with that. But with Houston, we do know what it's like to watch their IL rotation a little bit, and we do know that it's going to be just fine. So that is an interesting factor going in, because not only do they have depth, but they have depth that they're used to using and succeeding with. Yep. Now, God forbid anybody gets hurt. We're not asking for that. Right, we're not hoping for that. This is not one of those things we're predicting. Let's just go ahead and toss one up really quick.
Yeah, there we go.
Because that's not what we want. But I do think those are interesting questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Baseball family, let us know what you think about who is going to be, I don't know, I don't want to, the X factor, I guess, in these series, the player that these teams cannot go without. Jump down in the comments, let us know what you think, or jump in the mailbag. There's a link in the description of every single episode, and everywhere you go, you can do that. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you can. Hop on YouTube and subscribe there if you have not already. That will help us a whole heap. I like to say a whole heap. So go enjoy the championship series, and we will catch you on Thursday night when we go live.